Oh, what up, Toddcast friends, family, Romans, countrymen, peoples? Yeah.
What's up? We're
Was like, oh shit, did I lose Justin? Shit.
gonna be low energy today, guys. And I think
It's been a long
in general.
month. It's been a long year. It's been a long stuff. I'm just running on fumes because I've been, carrying cranberry for a bit, and it's been a lo lot of stuff. So
Yes.
anyway, not a lot of comic news this week.
No, no.
But as we wind down to the end of the year, remember once Thanksgiving hits, we stop doing.
Yeah.
Well, the week before Thanksgiving, we will stop doing the podcast till the end of the year, unless we decide to get real weird and do some kind of random extra fun episode for funsies. I don't know.
We might.
Well, I
Yeah.
mean, you never know. So,
I may start doing more appearances on the internet, because I do have my own YouTube channel too. So you
there
got,
you go.
I even bought some new toy I found on TikTok, voice changer. So I'm gonna have
Ooh.
fun with this. So this could
Nice.
be something fun.
Does it do Vader? If it doesn't do Vader.
It so far it just says, like, Loki, youth, female, witch, and then yeah, you could do baby, king.
You need to let me you need to you need to let me borrow this when I do the whatnot sales. Like, so I would totally do the baby voice for the whatnot sales. That'd be awesome. By the way, guys, the next two, because they're the last two of the year, I will be doing some late night whatnot sales after the podcast, around 9 o'clock. Maybe we'll say 9:30. 9:30.
Yes,
I'm gonna punch in those.
it's going to be John After Dark.
It's
We've decided
NDC
on the
After
title.
Dark.
Yes.
Hey, NDC After Dark. The first one's going to be all signed books. We started a buck, and we're going to see what we can get. There's some cool stuff. There's some Scott McDaniel stuff, some Jim Rugg stuff, some Jim Calafori, some Wayne Foucher, some Robert Hack, some cool stuff. And then the one after that is going to be a little more on the risque end. Some stuff like that. We'll see what I can find. We'll see what I can find. It'll be interesting, but it's going to be NDC After Dark. It'll be fun. I promise. Anyway,
And we totally stole that off of those who remember USA After Dark back in
up all night. Up
the
all night. Right. We're gonna watch episodes of the Femme Nikita. It's gonna be great. And
What was those bad detective ones
I'm
too?
gonna put on silk stockings. It's gonna be great.
That's it. That's the one. Wow. When
Right?
TV
So,
back in the day.
right.
That's not even like a fraction of a
Right?
prime anymore. Jeez.
Dude, remember that was like 30 years ago. Think
Oh,
about that,
man.
right? We're fucking old. Also remember that if you need some retail therapy from now to the end of the year, we have every Saturday, literally every Saturday. You can go to the warehouse from 11 to 6 and shop our warehouse for 50 cents a piece. It's 150 plus tax for a box, long box, cash only. The warehouse is not heated or cooled, so please dress appropriately for the weather. On the 23rd, some local Pittsburgh guys are going to be there from 4 to 5 p.m. doing a small signing. Jim Rugg's gonna be doing some signing for charity, signing some hardcovers, also making an appearance for sure are Robert Hack and Don Simpson. Hello, Kitty. We asked a couple other guys. We're waiting to hear back some people, but it's only gonna be a quick hour long thing. So if you're interested in coming up, they're gonna be hanging out at the shop or at the warehouse on the 23rd, so the Saturday before Thanksgiving. So make sure you check that out. We're gonna have details on that coming on the website probably this weekend, if not early next week. Black Friday stuff will be announced next week. Don't forget this Saturday, Tony Fleeks and Tone Rodriguez are gonna be at the Waterfront. Can't remember what time though. I think it's 1 to 6. Does that sound right?
I believe so.
Something like that.
Let's double. I will double check where you're.
Yeah. Writer of Feral, Local Man, Uncanny Valley. He's done a lot. Stray Dogs. A lot of fun. He's a good dude. We've had him on the show before. Tim Cope's gonna be very excited that day. So make sure you check that out. I'll be up in Cranberry. I have to run a pre-release. Let me think. There's something else going on too.
Oh, come on, guys.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's all I can think of. I think that's it.
I was
That
gonna
might be
say
it.
it's I'm on the waterfront
No, go to
Facebook.
ndcomics.com. Just go to our website. It's in there
Okay.
somewhere.
Should be on our Facebook too. That seems like a
Well,
drop ball there.
it's going to be on the company website or Facebook. I'm going to put it on there later today or tonight when I get home or when we're done. I have some emails to catch up on. I was stuck in traffic on the way back from
That's
Mills.
the voice actors. That's not what you're looking for.
Oh, that's the other thing. We have Sandy Fox and Lex Lang coming to the Waterfront on December 15th, I believe it is. They're coming and hanging out. Lex does one of the voices on Jujutsu Kaisen. Sandy is the voice of Betty Boop and a couple Sailor Moons. Lex also did Doctor Doom on Avengers World's Mightiest Heroes. So make sure you check that out. They're great people.
Oh, he's like
Sandy's
the
actually from Pittsburgh.
main bad guy from Jujutsu Kaisen. So
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
he's the
yeah.
big bad.
Yeah, he
Nice.
just had a pop vinyl, a new another pop vinyl come out too.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool. So check that out. Oh, and if you want to check out our Whatnot sales, our regular Whatnot sales, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 o'clock. Scott usually plays some classic rock while he does it.
Okay. Ah, I found it. It's 1 to 5 this
There we
weekend.
go. 1 to 5
One to
for Tony
five.
Fleeks. Good times. Yeah, it's pretty much all I got. So, all right, we're gonna talk some comics and I think that's about all we're gonna do tonight because it's been, like we said, it's been a long week. We're all kind of beat up a little bit and we're tired and I really could take a nap. And I need to get to bed early because I'm gonna have a long day tomorrow because I have cigars and coffee in the morning with a buddy of mine in Munhall and then Iron Maiden tomorrow night. So yay fun.
While the rest of us are
Yeah.
doing the pre-release for the new magic set. Hey.
Yep, well, I gotta do that on Saturday, so it'll be fine. Where did I put the share? Shit. There it is. Sorry. Oh, I'm first. Yay. All right. So my first book is Absolute Superman, by Jason Aaron, Rafa Sandoval, and Ulysses Arreola. Yes, that's really his name, Arreola. So much like most of these books, they kind of flip the page on the hero. So in this version of Superman, instead of him being part of the Science Guild, his family's part of the farming guild on Krypton. So the farming and mining guild. So his dad is like a farmer and a miner, and his mom like fixes these like harvest machines and like the House of L is like a labor union basically, like that's what they do. So his dad's down to mine and he's kind of like what's going on here, and it very much so like the original, the like he figures out and understands that Krypton is blowing itself apart because they're stripping planet of its resources too heavily. It like throws acid on them. It's kind of crazy. You cut to now on Earth in Brazil, and there's a different mine where asbestos came out, and a bunch of these people were getting sick, and the peacemakers are like it's like a small army of peacemakers are like kind of keeping these people mining stuff, and all of a sudden their coal are turned into diamonds, and you see a guy kind of in the shadows talking, and he uses his X-ray vision, and you can tell the guy he's talking to has black lung, and one of the peacemakers tries to kill that guy, and the guy comes out, and he's like, "Oh, I'm Kal-El," and he beats up one of the peacemakers and throws off his jacket, and he's beating up all the bad guys, and he's talking to his robot, like not really robot, but like his AI, who kind of keeps him under control, which is kind of interesting. And General Kane, or General Lane, works for Lazarus, Project Lazarus. Kal-El does like a he almost does like a solar flare and kills a bunch of peacemakers, which is kind of neat because you haven't seen him do a solar flare since like the New 52. Lois Lane, kind of like shocks him because he's kind of recharging and puts a dampening, like bracelet on him, kind of. And then it cuts to Kansas, and you see underneath the farm, there's a almost like lab where somebody you just see some dude with a bunch of stuff stuck to his head, almost like the Thinker, but it's probably going to be Lex. And he's just watching this go down, and he's very intrigued. And then you see it cuts back to Krypton in the past, where Jor-El comes back from the mine, all acided up, and he's like, "Where's Cal?" And Cal's actually a boy; he's not a baby at this point. But you get to see that Crypto is actually like a puppy on Krypton with him. So it's actually kind of cool that we get to see Crypto like there, not just like, "Oh, Crypto happened to be in the pod." They're going to make a plan to get him off the planet. So that was kind of cool the way they wrote that out. I really kind of dug the idea of how they did things. I really thought it was well done. I'm going to give this steak and eggs over easy with rye toast and warm coffee with a dash of cream, because I feel like that's how that Superman would take his breakfast. He's very like this Superman reminds me a lot of if you watched Man of Steel, like how he was kind of kept in the shadows, like very like birthrighty Superman, like where he doesn't really come out into play, he just kind of helps people in the shadows, type of thing, but people know that he exists, like, but he just doesn't he's not like the big icon that he is. And he's more of like a freedom fighter type thing. So I kind of dig it. Interested to see where it goes.
So he's kind of closer to the Red Sun Elseworld.
Kind of, yeah. Not that he's Russian though, but
No, that's the part
yeah.
that's kind of odd. But him working in the like his parents being field workers and stuff like that. That sounds very like the
It's
Red Sun
yeah,
background.
except that it's like the farm. Instead of him being on the farm when he gets here, he's on the farm on Krypton. So it's weird how that flipped. But I'm curious to see what happens to him when he gets here, and how he got to this point of where he's at on the planet. So I'm interested in this. I think if I have to do the three absolute books, I probably would put Wonder Woman first, this second, and then Batman. And Batman to me is mostly the art in Batman. I didn't really like the art in Batman, as I said multiple times. But the art in this was very good. But I thought the writing in all three books was very solid.
Yeah.
So,
Well, they all
but I
have some of the
just,
best writers in the
yeah,
game
right.
right now. Jason Aaron here, Scott Snyder on Batman. It's kind of hard because they rarely miss.
And then
So,
Kelly Thompson. So, yeah, it's pretty good. Speaking of killer
no.
writers, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is my first distillery review book. I know they've been around for what, a couple years now. But this one caught my eye because I was looking for a third book to go with. One for Sorrow, number one. This takes place, by the looks of it, the late 1800s, early 1900s. It's very piece driven, like historical-ish. And it starts out with this guy running for his life, and you see the what is it, the they call him the Magpie. And it basically kind of very Spectre, like DC Spectre, where it's like vengeance, and he ends up killing, like, he vents him for information, kind of like Batman, but kills the guy in the parlor. This is all happening in London, by the way. So this is all very, UK, England, and then it jumps to a, what is it? I guess a bunch of nobles, or well-off people going to see a fortune teller, because that's what they do. Silly, go see a fortune teller, and of course the fortune teller is kind of, doing their do things that fortune tellers usually do, kind of conning these rich people out of their money, deservedly so. These people aren't very nice people. And then you see the redhead there with the bun. She is working in a bar, and I guess it's an honor, or you get paid more to do join a gentleman's poker night. You get paid a little bit more, and if you do a good job, they'll invite you back. And she kind of manipulates her way into this game, even though she is a relatively new employee in this establishment. But she does well. She impresses the big wigs, so to speak. And it's just a chain of events. There's an older detective, retired detective, that's trying to put pieces of this magpie murders, because apparently the magpie is murdering people, bad people, but he's still murdering them. The girl, the bartender there, is getting a little deeper, higher and higher in the chain of bosses in this. So it's very mob, and she's impressing them. And of course, the fortune teller is doing a home fortune telling of to one of the nobles. Again, it's a lot of spying, a lot of listening, a lot of interesting little things. The magpie, of course, is doing their vigilante thing. and starts torturing a bookkeeper, and I mean bookkeeper as in a bad guy bookkeeper. We find out after the end of this whole issue that the magpie, vigilante, the fortune teller, and the bartender are one and the same person. It's really got me interested. I may have to delve deep into seeing this. My only issue with this book is why do these have to be
Magazine size.
magazine size? Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful stock, that it's beautifully, the art is beautiful. This is well written. It's very, it's like if you slam Batman and Sherlock Holmes and add a little bit of Dexter, like thrown into this book, this is what it feels like. Very, very good if you're into the mystery with the murder and the whole shebang here. It's really, really good. I'm gonna give this a solid, what's a good murder mystery, murder vengeance breakfast. How about just
Hard-boiled
let's,
egg.
well, since this is England, let's go with was it the egg in a basket with some tea, but right beside the tea is a Irish coffee.
There you go. There you go. Very well
That's
done.
something with a little band to it.
There you go. Sounds good. Yeah, I saw this and was like, I don't know. I love Jamie McLeave, but I was like, I don't know if I want to buy something this big.
Yeah,
So,
it's worth the read though. It's like it's
killing
definitely
me.
a good story.
Killing me, Smalls. All right, my next book is Batgirl number one. It's an all-in book by Tate Brummel, Takeshi Miyazawa, and Mike Spicer as a colorist.
I like their costume design. That looks more like Cassandra Cain than
It is
Batgirl.
Cassandra Cain.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So it starts off with the only thing I don't like about this, and I think I forgot that they actually got her to they in the detective run that I think James Tynan did, they got her to actually talk more. It was either him or Tomasi got her to talk more, because like they got her to talk more because like Clayface like taught her to speak more or some shit. I forget how it worked out when she was orphan for a while. But anyway, it's her and her mom, Lady Shiva. And she's kind of like, she's talking to her mom, and her mom's just kind of like, why are you going out like that? And she's just like, why did you kill this guy? Like, who's this guy laying on the floor? Why did you kill him? And she's just like, fine, I won't kill anybody, but I need to kill people. He's like, you're a terrorist. And she's like, no, I'm not. And she's like, no killing. And so they're having this fight, and all of a sudden ninjas break through the window because, Lady Shiva. And they're doing the what is buried always comes to light. So so Batgirl's just kind of like, oh, they're here for you. She's like, meh, good luck, and like gets ready to leave, and Shiva grabs her by the cape and pulls her back, and she punches her in the face, and she's like, that's my daughter. So they have a big fight with the ninja guys. They beat them all up. Really great, like big fight scene panels. The art in this is very, very good. So they jump out of the building. They kind of float slash glide for a while. They realize that the temple to Lady Shiva has been blown up. They run down to see what's going on. One of the monks in there is like, or the high priest is like, look out. And She catches an arrow and then gets hit by an arrow, and then more of the ninjas show up, and then they have another big fight scene. There's a really great like Lady Shiva gets ready to fight scene, and it's just really well done. Like, I just really it's mostly just fighting ninjas, and it's cool. It's very reminiscent of the old run that Jim Calafiore worked on back in the 90s. I really enjoyed it. It was very, very good. I'm giving this. Oof, I'm gonna give this. Oh, Eggs Benedict
Okay.
and a glass of milk, because I think that's a very Cassandra Cain plain breakfast type thing. So yeah, I think that would be very, very boring. So
So you weren't impressed with this at all?
I was, but she's just like that. Like, she's not over the top. She's not very talkative. She's
Okay.
plain.
Well, now this is a reprint of The Crow Dead Time. I don't know why they're reprinting the story. It's not a bad story. It's a good story. Because it's a slightly different story when it comes to a crow resurrection, because it's through time. It's not just a year or two. This is 100+ years, and it's one of those, vengeance against the ancestors type deal. This crow is he is part white, part Native American. He gets murdered. Well, him and his mom get murdered in the Old West by a bunch of Confederate, Confederate soldiers, that basically just kind of, took out their frustrations because they lost in the war. So, and the crow there, he doesn't get resurrected until modern times. Now this is in 1998, 99. When this came out the first time. So it's around the late 90s. And he starts, the typical finding who these guys are, as the crow is leading him. Of course, he's shocked seeing all the modern conveniences. Because it is a heck of a jump from 1800s to modern times. This one, the crow talks a lot more to, I think his name is Joshua, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have it in front of me right now, but if I remember correctly, his name was Joshua. Again, if you're like the crow, you're gonna like this. Like I said, a little bit of twist. The art's okay. It's definitely very gritty. Definitely back from the 90s, the late 90s era there of that time period. The only thing different about this reprint compared to the original is just the covers. That's cover A. I like cover B better. Cover B was very nice. So I snagged cover B myself. It's a fun story. This is the second issue. I think he started, was it, he took out the second guy. And they're still trying to figure out like who this kid is. You know, they started calling him the Crow Man because they, you know, he was surrounded by crows. And then the whole crow is a cloud thing, very similar to the second movie where all the crows gathered and, you know, doing that kind of deal. That's probably where they got that idea from the movie there. But this was still, I want to say, one of the better crow stories. So it's a good 90s breakfast that kind of fits this. What did you eat in the 90s that you can't eat anymore now? I'm trying to think. It's there might be like a flavor of a Pop-Tart or something that no longer exists.
No, like not a Pop-Tart, but like do they
There
still
were
make
some really
toaster
rad.
strudels? Like,
Yeah, they still make toaster
okay.
strudels. But I do remember toaster strudels first coming up, like as the competitor to Pop-Tarts, but like around that time. So let's go with that. Give me like two of the strawberry toaster strudels because
Ooh.
those were the better ones.
There you
The
go.
blueberry ones always tasted like garbage to me. Yeah, let's do that.
I kind of liked both, so.
Let's go with a Jolt Cola to go on that
There you
to
go.
right
Or
there.
a Panther or Panther Cola? Or was it Panther Puma? What the fuck was it? It was oh, God damn it.
I had Jolt. I don't know what you're talking about on that Panther Puma. I have no idea what that
Oh, what
is.
the hell was it called? Hold on.
We're gonna look through this. But for those who are big Crow fans, and I think it's harder to get the Dead Time set. You can
Josta,
find
that was it.
Josta. Okay.
Josta.
Wow. That's a
There's a
yeah.
deep cut right there.
Yeah. That's I don't think I ever had that, to be honest.
Josta with the puma on it. That's see, I knew I had a puma on it, so
I just remember
all
having a
right.
Jolt. God.
This may be my new book for the week. FML from Kelly Pseudaconic and Dave Lopez. So this book is actually kind of neat. So it starts off with this kid who is singing this song. Punk song. His name's Riley. You find out that his mom used to be in a punk band. She used to be pretty awesome. And he is in like a metal band with a bunch of his friends from high school. And this book kind of introduces all of his friends. And they live in a world where there's like they live out west where there's a lot of fires, so they have to wear masks because it's orange outside. You know, they have shooter drills and all kinds of stuff, and this other metal band talks to him about like a battle the bands they're doing, and they need an opener, and they asked if they would do it, and the name of their band is STFU or Shut the Fuck Up, like Riley draws a lot of stuff randomly, like on paper. And instead of doing his homework, he was drawing this weird, crazy monster thing. So his mom's a dog walker, and his mom like takes the call while walking a bunch of dogs from the principal, and there's like a really funny moment where she almost falls in poop. The principal's just kind of like, just take this home and go home. Get the hell out of here. And then you see her like hit a vape. And like the mom's like all into true crime podcasts now. And they kind of go home and like the kids kind of sneak out and they go to this old house and it's supposed to be like haunted and they find all of these old zines from Patty Cake, which is his mom's old band, and she was Patty Cake. And they they start to find all these crazy witch spells in one of them. So they do this witch spell, and the next morning Riley wakes up and he's turned into a giant monster. So that's where it ends. And it takes place in Portland, which is kind of cool. It's very punk rock, it's very metal. I love it. And it's actually got a nice cardstock front and back, which is also kind of nice. It's a lot of fun. It's very Kelly Sue. If you know anything about her, if you've read anything she's written that's not comics or comics, it's very much so what I would expect to hang out with her from a book point of view. So I'm very excited to read more of this. So definitely check it out. It's very good. I'm giving this. Remember those big salad, like plastic salad bowls? I'm giving it like one of those, like those big Tupperware bowls. Like, I want the whole thing of corn puffs in there with milk. Like, that's this. Like, that's like the ridiculousness that I think this book is. That's the
Nice.
breakfast this sucker's getting. Like, that's how fun and ridiculous this is. So.
Ah, the Shadow Man Soul Eaters number two. This issue, we get the backstory on how Alyssa got tricked into being the magpie. Now, again, different magpie than the one for Sorrow. This is the magpie that works for the was it Master Darquois? And I guess it goes back to she was visiting her is it her grandmother? Yeah, her grandmother, and they have like a heart to heart. The grandmother turns out to be Master Darkwa, who tricks her and drags her into the dark side and basically manipulates her mind and like brainwashes the hell out of her to go against Jack. And then we get fast forward to the battle. And they Shadow Man and his friends were they're trying to fight back, but it's they're getting overwhelmed. And it takes Persephone to come and make a presence and starts fighting back. Gives Shadow Man enough time and to grab the others and retreat. And then it goes back and forth. You're getting a lot of flashbacks in this episode of how everything came to be. And we get a peek into Master Darkwa and Dr. Silk's master plan. It still doesn't like reveal everything, but you get like a meeting between the two of them in a lab. And how they're combining science with the mystic. Meanwhile, you fast forward and it's Magpie versus Persephone. Magpie actually kicks Persephone's ass and ends up like disintegrating her, which it doesn't affect Persephone because she'll come back to life. That because she's basically a god anyway. They're sitting there trying to figure out how to get Alyssa back from the clutches of Master Darkwa. And that was pretty much the end of the book. It was a good backstory on like how everything happened. Again, love Shadow Man, love the writing, the artwork is excellent. No complaints for me on this book. And, I'm sure you read it too, John, because you were Shadow Man fan
It's
yourself.
in my
So
pile.
it's excellent. But yeah, so far, I'm enjoying the resurgence of the Valiant universe, at least as far as Shadow Man parts concerned so far. Give me a Cajun breakfast. Give me a omelet with Cajun spices, some shrimp in there, because you gotta have shrimp and everything down there. Nice and spicy. Yeah, that sounds about
Spicy.
right. Spicy stuff. So.
There you go. Cool. All right. Well, that about wraps it up tonight.
Yeah. Well, I do have one thing to show off here.
Sure.
Joe, or well, my wife was at the Rhode Island Comic Con. Got to meet Dogpool. There's a picture of
Ooh.
her in Dogpool. She was thrilled with that. But she helps out Joe, our mini vendor friend, and I sent a couple of books there, and I got a signed copy
Oh.
from is this my pronunciation is going to be awful with this. I want to say Michael
I don't know.
Se Michael Ser Se Sarayan. I
That
want to
sounds
say
right.
S I wanted to say Saiyan, but that's not it's not the right
That
thing
sound
there.
close enough.
Yeah, but I love the cup.
Saran, maybe? I don't know.
Saran, yeah, that's probably exactly right.
Okay.
But yeah, that his saber tooth is excellent.
That's
So,
awesome.
and I
Very
like how
cool.
the he signed it with the exact color of the costume. So,
That's awesome.
yep, add that to my signed books.
Awesome, awesome. All right, guys. Well, everybody, have a great night, and we will talk to everybody later, I guess. So.
Yep. Well, hopefully we'll be in a more jovial mood next week.
Yeah,
So,
hopefully. I might just get
fingers.
real trash for next week. We'll be all right. So, and then do the and then do a whatnot sale. So you might even get more shit for cheap. We'll see. So, all right. See you later, guys.
Yeah.